What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to Lockdown Universe, home of the bizarre, peculiar, and unheard of stories of UFO legend and paranormal lore. Welcome back, welcome back. Happy to be back. Hopefully you guys are doing awesome and taking care of yourselves. Today we are going to talk about the man who set himself on fire today in front of the Donald Trump hearing of hush money in New York. The man's name is Max Azzarello, and he has been classified as a conspiracy theorist, although he may not be. We're going to get into why he did this, what his manifesto said, whether or not we think, I think, and maybe you think, his reasoning for it might be, and whether or not this is the best thing to do for your cause. And whether or not this might be actually a ruse to block the whole intention of the trial. Maybe it's just a distraction. You know, the government's known to do distractions all the time, including during the voting scandals where they put a huge truck down in, Tennessee, right outside of one of the humongous voting centers. And they were blasting this sound out of this megaphone on top of the truck that said, "Please exit the area." And then they had an explosive go off right in the building, the AT&T building that was housing these voting machines. It was a really interesting case. That whole case deserves its own episode if you haven't heard about that. But the U.S. and the government are not new to the realm of distractions, and this could very well be that, especially in the day of AI, deepfake technology, and Project Bluebeam. Who knows? But we do have a real person, a real body, a real individual in a hospital, according to reports. So this sounds like it is the real deal. So who is Max Azzarello, and what's up with his desire to set himself on fire? Why? What was his point, right? So this is the very first podcast I've seen on Spotify or anywhere. Nobody has done a podcast about this yet. So this will be the first, hopefully, and I want to try to do as good a job as I can with the information that's out there. So right now, there's an article that says, "Who was Max Azzarello, the man who set himself on fire before the Trump trial?" So he knew that he was going to be in front of a lot of cameras. A lot of media was going to be covering this Trump trial. Now, what you need to know about Max is that he lives in St. Augustine, Florida, and he drove all the way up to New York to be in front of the media to get media attention for this. One question I have right off the bat is, Max, why did you drive from Florida to New York when Trump just had a trial that he attended on March 14th in Florida, where he could have gotten plenty of media coverage right in front of the courthouse there, much closer to him? Was it because he knew that there's going to be maybe more media at this case? Maybe he wasn't ready yet. I don't know. We may never know. Max is still alive despite turning himself into a big ball of flames. But there's a lot of video, okay, out there that shows him talking about having a revolution and starting a revolution, and we're going to find out why right now. So what was his point? Why did he do it? Well, one thing we know is that he started to distribute pamphlets, and these pamphlets had his manifesto in them. The pamphlets contain a link to a newsletter titled The Ponzi Papers, where Mr. Azzarello shared several theories linking crypto billionaires, former U.S. President Bill Clinton, Jeffrey Epstein, Rob Lowe, to an apocalyptic fascist world coup. Okay? So he believes that, and this is according to many reports, that in the manifesto it states that Bitcoin and all crypto is a humongous Ponzi scheme, and the government is in on it, as well as many banks, and they are going to rip the rug out from underneath all of us retail investors, all of us little guys investing, not the big financial banks, but the industrial money, they call it, but the little guys, and they're going to rip out all the money, and nobody's going to be able to take out their money. It'll all drop to like 90% off, and we will have nothing. And that is his theory. He states that he's done, I don't know, 5,000 hours of research, 3,000 hours of research, 1,500 hours of research, something like that, to back up his claim. He did write a 2,600 to 2,700 word manifesto. I can read it to you here, but I'll just try to highlight the points. He already knew he was going to set himself on fire. So the first statement in the manifesto states, "My name is Max Azzarello, and I am an investigative researcher who has set himself on fire outside of the Trump trial in Manhattan. This is an extreme act of protest and is to draw attention to an urgent and important discovery. We are all victims of a totalitarian con, and our own government, along with many of their allies, is about to hit us with an apocalyptic fascist world coup. These claims may sound like a fantastical conspiracy theory, but they are not. They are proof of a conspiracy. If you investigate the mountain of research, you will prove them too. If you learn a great deal about Ponzi schemes, you will discover that our life is a lie. If you follow the story in the links below, you will discover the rotten truth." So there's a whole bunch more. Again, it's 2,700 words. But he stood outside of the trial yesterday holding up a sign. I'm going to show you right now. He's holding up a sign that says, "Trump is with Biden." Okay? "Trump is with Biden, and they're about to fascist coup us." And that's Max right there. Good-looking guy. It's unfortunate that he burned himself. I don't wish that upon anybody. And as much as, you know, a lot of us might want a revolution, setting yourself on fire might not necessarily be the best way to continue to promote your viewpoint, especially if you pass away. So days before what they call the self-immolation, that's what setting yourself on fire is called, self-immolation. Mr. Azzarello was pictured holding a sign protesting this at the same courthouse. And after the news of the act, several videos of Mr. Azzarello reading out parts of his manifesto, as well as singing and calling on viewers to start a revolution, have gone viral. Now, what's interesting is he took a picture with Bill Clinton, and he actually had a lawsuit against Clinton, Mark Cuban, I think Epstein, and a couple others. Actually 100 influential people that were sued in a conspiracy theory filed case, which was tossed out by the court last year. So he named a whole bunch of people and was suing them in court. So police stated that they have labeled him a conspiracy theorist because of this. And they're investigating the incident. They did put him out with fire extinguishers. CNN was there reporting as well as others, but CNN gets a lot of the credit because they're the ones that did a lot of the publicity and had their camera right on him at the time. I'm not going to show it. There's enough of it out there. You can go TikTok and YouTube it. You can imagine what somebody being on fire looks like. And it's not like a close-up shot, so it's really not even worth looking at. But they describe what they see, and they describe him. I don't think it's so much important that you see what a person on fire looks like. I think it's more important to look at the mental health and the conspiracy theory aspect and to see and decipher for yourself whether or not his movement and his desire to promote his movement is something to look into. Okay? So he is still alive at this current time. He's in critical condition. So in the videos before he did this act today, he made a couple of videos stating that, you should start a revolution. He's singing in his car. He's kind of bopping around. He's saying, "We should start a revolution," you know, singing in the kind of old-timey, original, colonistic days of, you know, like a national support theme. And some people might find it humorous, but if you look at it from a wider stance, you can start to see the mental health issues there. And I am, definitely interested in conspiracy theories. But I don't want anybody to get hurt. And I think that, when it comes to revolutions, there's a lot of kinds of revolutions. You have a Martin Luther King type revolution, where you have the Million Man March, where you give speeches, where you engage with the public and you get backing. Max was really on his own. He had some followers on TikTok and things like that, but when he went out and did this, he was on his own and he was just throwing out pamphlet papers. And if you really want to make a change, you have to engage with the public on a large scale and in person. It's kind of like those Occupy Wall Street, right? Where they were trying to make a change. It was almost like a Million Man March where they were, occupying a space, giving speeches, telling people why they were upset. And, it makes a larger impact when you can have a greater amount of people and you can push your movement with speeches versus setting yourself on fire. It is an extreme act. He even said it himself. It's an extreme act. But he wants people to be aware of what's going on. Now, 2,600, 2,700 word document is pretty lengthy, right? And I've listened to a lot of different people evaluate this over the past few hours, and they state that the first 7 pages, seem to make sense almost. They're like, okay, I can get on board. There's probably a large scheme that some of these elites have that are, taking people's money. But the problem is that after you get past page 7 or so, it just starts to deteriorate into, kind of like this, almost like a rambling. And that's where you lose credibility because you start to ramble, your points don't make sense, or at least it's hard to follow your points. And so I think it's important to look at that. Many people who state that they met Azzarello state that he was a nice, normal person, easy to talk to. Even in his videos, he seems like a pretty decent dude. But you can tell that he has, a little something wrong, or he, something's not, some, he's upset, he's disturbed by something. Although I never had a problem with him, he didn't like authority. You can't just not listen to authority and expect to make a change. I think his feeling was that that was the only way, according to one of the people who was the property manager for his building. He lived in a two-story apartment building in St. Augustine's historic district, and Larry Altman, who was the property manager, stated that he would engage with him from time to time. Now, Azzarello believed that there was a Ponzi scheme going on, and federal court records show that he had the lawsuit, right? Even against the Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton Foundation. He believed that there was this humongous bank conspiracy going on. Now, what's interesting is that if you look at his LinkedIn page, he's actually worked for some pretty big corporations. Now, whether or not these are accurate or not, I don't know. I don't do a whole lot of LinkedIn, but I know that you can kind of put whatever you want on there. So they may be fake, they may not be. So if you go to his LinkedIn page, it has Max Azzarello has the picture of him with Bill Clinton, and then it states right underneath there, "We've got a secret fascism problem." It says he lives in the greater Philadelphia area, which is not true anymore. But in the about section, it's not even about him. It's about Peter Thiel, who he says he started a bank run in the Silicon Valley bank last March, the one that folded, and he fell into a rabbit hole and learned all of the secrets of the world. The big one, cryptocurrency is our first planetary multi-trillion dollar Ponzi scheme. that's about to collapse the world economy so our elites can try to fascist coup us. Not the best English there, but he says, join the united movement to abolish this rotten farce forever. Now, in his experience, he states that he's been self-employed for the last year and 2 months as a research investigator, but then some of these other positions are pretty high up there. He graduated from Rutgers, which is a pretty high, pretty well-established school with a master's of city and regional planning back in 2012. He also has a bachelor's of arts from University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Michael Jordan's college. So he started off as a marketing administrative assistant, but built himself up to working in energy consulting. So that's interesting because we always know that the Department of Energy is always at the center of some alien stuff. He was operations director of some representatives, so friends of Tom Suzy, which would have been some sort of representative. Then he was operations director for Bureau of Congress. These are all, one is in New York, one was in California. Then in LA, he was assistant operations manager for the Liberty Hill Foundation. And then he was a small business consultant for 2 years. I want to take a look at this Liberty Hill Foundation, just kind of see what it might entail. Computer's going slow. But what I think is interesting is it seems as though he's been employed for quite some time. And what one of the TikTokers said was that if somebody's been employed for like 8 years or 10 or 15 years, 2012, so at least 10 years, lots of people can become mentally ill and have breakdowns and not be able to work anymore. But they, their theory was this guy's still 37, still young, shouldn't have, doesn't seem like he was like, quote unquote, crazy, according to him. But the Liberty Hill Foundation is LA's social justice epicenter, where you can leverage the power of community organizers, donor activists, and many others. So it's in LA. So this guy's been around the United States in the bigger areas, Florida, California, and then New York, where he got lit. And so we have this guy. But the thing about it is that he knew Trump was going to be there. Does it have anything to do with Trump? Could this guy be like some sort of Manchurian candidate to take the eyes off Trump, to distract the world from Trump's multiple court cases? Whether you're a Republican or Democrat, whether you're going to vote for Trump or not, this is something to question. Trump doesn't seem like the type of guy to try to utilize somebody with like mental illness, although some people might say that he tried to do that with the January 6th event. But I don't think, these guys are connected. But you know what? There's lots of mystery stories that start and end with weird connections, don't they? I think, and again, this is a developing story, but I wanted to get in on this because I think there'll be room for another podcast as this story grows and we get a little bit more detail. But I think with Max, he made a bunch of videos beforehand. He was definitely like anti-government. He worked for folks that were working in government trying to get them elected, which is interesting enough. But it just seems like he did this out of nowhere, he could have done it earlier with the Florida event, with the Florida court cases that Trump actually did attend. So there would have been plenty of media coverage. Do you think that what his manifesto says is true? Do you think there's a whole bunch of elitists, over 100 in cahoots to push a fascist regime with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency being the fall guy and bringing our economy down to its knees. Well, we have had the Dow Jones and the general New York Stock Exchange drop dramatically, especially back, what, 1912? So in 1908. So we have the Great Depression that happened. Now, that's happened before and after that. So is it possible for crypto to drop? It's done it four times already. Big time drops, right? Sometimes up to 80%. So we have an economy right now that's pretty rough. Cryptocurrency could definitely affect that. I think something's got to give, and I think that where it's giving is with people who are having a lot of mental strife with these economic times. People are not able to put food on the table. People are not able to afford things. Prices have gone through the roof. You have a guy like Max who might know a little bit more than we do about the economy and the politics behind it. And because of that, he might have said, "Hey, I have to do something drastic in order to get people's attention." You have individuals who already are predisposed to mental illness. When they have an environment like we're in, a depression, recession, you're going to have more strife in their life. So that's going to be a problem. That pushes people, and that shows you exactly where we're at with this current mental health, economical crisis that the country's going through right now. There's countries that are doing great. America's not one of them. And so right now we need to say, hey, I think if anything, he's brought to light what people are going through mentally, what people are willing to put themselves through when they see that there's corruption at the highest levels. And even if there isn't a 100-person conspiracy, that there's something going on. There's an economy problem. There's a problem with what happened during COVID. He blamed that as well in his paper, as like a recession starter, which it was. There's some stuff that he wrote that does make sense to a degree, and then there's some stuff that goes off on a tangent. So when we look at it, we got to look at it in a full spectrum. But I think the reason I wanted to make this podcast was one, I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to get it out in the open. And I also wanted to bring it to my listeners' attention because I think that it's important when we're all going through economic time, troubled times, to look at how we can make things better and easier. I think there's a lot of things the government can do to make things easier for a lot of us. Maybe alleviate some taxes. That could help a lot of people. And then, allow folks that maybe can't work to receive some extra funds so that they can at least afford to eat. But this is one of the biggest stories in the news right now. So, given that we know people are lighting themselves on fire, that we have a tremendous mental health crisis going on with this current political and economic social structure that's going on right now, and something's got to give. And what's scary is that people are worried about this now. People are worried somebody's going to set themselves on fire. People are getting punched in New York City for no reason. People need an outlet for this aggression and frustration of these economic times. And I mean, you got guys, there was just a video of this guy who just went into a iPhone store or an Apple store and was just ripping the display phones off, ripped 40 of them off, put them right in his jogging pants and walked right out. So there's people that are willing to do whatever it takes to survive in this economic environment, and I just don't want to see it get worse. So do what you need to do. Talk to a mental health professional if you have one. If you don't have one, check in with your local and regional cities, communities, and they can point you in the right direction. You can ask your general practitioner for a referral. You know, if you're having strife and difficult times, I think it's important to talk to somebody. I don't think that setting yourself on fire is going to be the best case scenario here. And giving, I mean, it draws attention, right, to the cause, to his cause. But at the end of the day, if he passes, he won't be able to have any more say towards his cause or be able to push his cause anymore. Some people might call that a martyr. Some people might say, hey, well, he did enough because he ended his life and that's enough to push it. But there's people that love him and there's people that love you, and there's no reason to end your life early. So we got to fight the good fight, but in the right way. So I want you guys to take care of your physical health, your spiritual health, your emotional health. I hadn't gotten exercise in a while. I went out and jogged like 4 miles today. And I felt so good. Now I'm sore and I'm getting old, but, it's just the price you got to pay, right? That's what Tylenol's for. And so take care of yourself, your physical health, your spiritual health, your emotional health. You know, if you want to, you know, fight the good fight, that's fine. Do it in a way that's constructive. Do it in a way that's in combination with people so that you have a group of people, and a group of people can work together to make real change in a political way, real change in a community-based way, real change in a positive, enlightened way. A lot of people do prayer, a lot of people do meditation, a lot of people communicate with aliens through CE5 meditation groups. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do to elevate yourself and focus on being the best version of you, whatever that is. So please take care of yourself. And as more information comes out, if there's any new information that's vital and detailed, then maybe I'll do another podcast. But otherwise, I might just leave it here. But we'll see. As it comes out, maybe we'll do another one. So take care of yourselves. Thanks for staying and listening. Again, I love you guys. Take care of yourselves. Follow through on your hobbies and your goals and your dreams. And as always, continue to question the universe around you. Till next time, guys, take care. Lockdown Universe out. Peace.